知らないよ。
Do the intro. I always do it.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Comic Book Queers, episode 329. Wow. I am your host, Evil Jeff, and this is Brett.
Hi, I'm Brett. How are you? How are you, listeners? And how are you, Evil Jeff? Wait, seriously, you are in North Hollywood.
Yeah,
we are all
so
aware
I
of what's happening in LA.
Between two huge fires. I do want people to know that what is happening is insane and it is horrible, but LA is very big, and I think people outside just think that everybody is on fire, and not everyone is on fire. So there's still a lot of places where it is a little hazy, it's a little smoky, the air is dry, in some places the air is bad. Everybody's kind of wearing a mask outside, but other than that, there's a lot of places where we're safe.
Good.
Where we're not in danger.
I'm so glad you're safe.
Winds could pick up and change, and that could change tomorrow of where it is safe and where it isn't. But it is very horrible right now. And I just ask everyone to just, you know, try and practice something that people are bad at called empathy. Because one thing I want people to know is that, yes, there are rich people losing their houses, but there are way more middle class and poor people losing their houses too.
Yeah.
This isn't an eat the rich thing. People are talking about like, well, what? We're happy that the CEO was murdered. There's a very difference between a billionaire and Jamie Lee Curtis losing
right.
her home. You
right.
know, a millionaire is not the problem
right.
in our capitalistic society.
Right.
So have some empathy. And just be careful if you are an LA listening to this.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I saw a thing on X.com that was like, the neighborhood of LA is almost completely gone. I was like, the neighborhood
People
of LA.
People are posting fake pictures of the Hollywood sign on fire.
Right.
Also, they think it might be three of these fires were probably arson.
So
I think the Palisades might be just like a electrical spark, transformer spark.
Yeah. Yeah.
But after that, these arsonists are like, oh, everything's
might
on fire.
Well.
Fun. I don't understand arsonists.
I don't either. Men just want to watch the world burn.
What is someone like, is their favorite character Pyro for some reason from the X-Men? See how I brought it back to the X-Men.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm wearing an X-Men hoodie that I got for Christmas, by the way.
I am wearing a Gem in the Holograms or Jizz in the Mammograms.
Jizz!
Depending on who you like.
You never do the Jizz voice on this show.
Do the whole show as Jizz?
It hurts.
That hurts.
I will tell you, the older I get, the harder it is for me to do the voice.
Yeah, and you're so old, so it must be so hard. Sorry.
Girl, wait, who's older, you or me?
Me.
I am, right? You. How much, but you're... February?
Stop. We're not talking about our ages on this show.
No, but I'm just saying, when is your birthday? We're born the same year.
Are we both? Yeah. My birthday is February 13th.
Yeah, and I'm April.
Okay.
Okay, so you are like...
Yeah.
Just...
Eons. I have a world of experience beyond you.
My one friend is exactly to the day 6 months younger than me.
No way.
But because he was 6 months younger than me, it means he started school, like he's like, he graduated a year after, you know what I mean? He was in like a grade below.
Yes.
Me.
So he's a year younger than you.
And so he's like, I'm a year younger than you. And I'm like, we were born in the same year. You're not a year younger than me. You're 6 months. He's like, well, you round it up and it's a year. And he wants to hold that over my head and I refuse it.
You don't round up time.
I refute it. Anyway, I want time to go by fast because I love how it's just like my world is literally on fire.
Yeah.
And then a president who hates California is about to come in.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about comic books where it's like the new threat to the world. And I'm like, whatever comic. Now I'm reading comics and I'm like, is it as worse as what's going on in America right now? Otherwise, I'm not impressed. And we're going to talk about how unimpressed I am with the comics that are out right now.
I cannot wait. But first, we have some hot topics to talk about because I've been reading the news and I've been all like...
Oh, am I pressing?
You made a move like you were doing something with your computer. I was picking up subtle cues.
And he was like, and then she was like, and then they were all like, and I was all like, what?
Okay.
I was doing something with my computer. It was that I didn't even have the button for me to press it open. So I was trying to pull it up.
Really quick, can I tell you, I saw my first improv show in 6 years.
I saw your posts about that.
It was Matt Rogers.
It had the people from Dix the Musical,
it was
right?
Dix the Musical Boys and Matt Rogers, so it was the
How's
funniest.
Matt Rogers at improv?
Not great.
Okay, I was going to be like, I don't think that seems like his...
Well, he's a UCB. They were all UCB boys. Back
UCB
when we were doing Chicago, they were doing UCB.
UCB but, improv can be tough for me.
Yeah, I mean... There was just a lack of listening skills and
premise.
No, I mean it was fun. Funny. It was so fun. Like he's not boring by any stretch, but like you could tell Aaron Jackson and Josh Sharp were like, okay, we established this. Were you paying attention? Like it was kind of like them always checking with him, like are you not paying attention kind of thing, which is fun.
That's fun.
You know, like and I saw their back to back sets. Because we were going all the way to Gowanus, Brooklyn, which is far. And so they did a 7 and a 9. And we're like, let's just go to both. Because
it's going to be different.
Venue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, for example, like second show, they come out and they're like, we did our first show. We've committed to being more physical. And then like, as soon as they got the initiation, they brought out 3 chairs and stayed there for, you know, it's like little improv coach things. But it was the funniest show I've ever seen in terms of improv. So
it's great.
You know, there's a balance. But then... Now I've been rebitten by the bug. Then I went to see Baby Wants Candy. Then I went to see Shamilton. I can't stop. It's back.
What's Shamilton? Is that just
they do
an improvised
a
musical?
It's Baby Wants Candy, folks. They do a hip-hop musical.
Oh, hip-hop musical.
Similar to
that's
Hamilton.
Great. Oh, I love
and it.
It
was great. They give you the suggestion is like, who should we do this musical about? And so last night's was about Ariana Grande, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So
that's
good.
Amazing.
Improv is back.
Oh my God, my sister is calling me. Leave me alone.
Put her on the show. Here, we'll
you're on the air.
We'll patch her in.
Why will it not let me decline the call? God. Anyway, family, making sure I'm okay.
Oh, God, enough.
I'm doing an improv. I will be performing in an improv show next week, as long as, you know, I'm not on fire.
You will be fine.
I miss improv so much.
I'm starting to miss it.
And the problem is it's really hard for all the olds that were doing
Merrill
shows over a decade ago. There's no place for us.
There's no place for us.
Because even when I'm going, it's all like people being like, we just took the 201 class at UCB and like we need a place to perform. Or it's all just like, who are the new people we're bringing in? Oh, it's these people coming up through the schools. So the people that are all old, we
there's nowhere for
there's
us
no
to go.
For us.
We should but produce our own
funny.
Shows.
We're funny. Don't you believe us?
Our references are dated, but if you get them, they're funny. Okay. Right. We need to shift from one form of entertainment to another, because girl,
we're gonna talk about awards.
This week is going to be an Oscar nominations week, and I think we need to talk about this.
Yes.
Oh, let me just put this little slide up there. Okay, there we go. And that we should talk about our Oscar predictions.
I think the SAG Awards came out, and there was a lot person that won Best Actress isn't even nominated for a SAG Award.
Fernanda Torres, is that her name?
Yes. So it's kind of a free-for-all.
It's unpredictable.
Right now. But for me, I think there's two locks. Well, do you have images?
Can we talk about actresses? Yeah, I'm going to call the...
I mean, do you want to talk about the Golden Globes at all?
Yeah, let's talk about the Golden Globes. Let's go here to this picture of Sebastian Stan and Demi Moore.
I mean, that's who I want to win. I want Demi Moore to win.
Are two musical or comedy lead performance winners, which is very interesting. These are my two favorites for the Oscars.
Did Sebastian Stan. He win for Best Actor?
He
or
won
best
for Best Lead Actor for
lead
A Different
actor.
Man. But I don't know if you've seen him in The Apprentice.
I did not watch The Apprentice because it's about
I've
Donald
seen
Trump,
clips.
Right? I just can't.
I can't either, but I've seen clips, and what he is doing is nothing short of amazing. He's not doing a Donald Trump impression, but he's doing Donald Trump in such a way. I think he's going to win for both. He'll be nominated for Different Man because nobody wants to feed the ego of Donald Trump and give this guy the Oscar for The Apprentice.
Yeah.
But he'll win for both. And then to me, I'm sorry. She's the talk of the town. She was the performance of the year, period.
She is the moment.
She is the moment, again.
Also, I think her speech set up. Her speech yes. was very smart. Her speech set up the story, and people want the story.
Set up the story.
Not and always, because last year we really thought Emma Stone was not going to win because it was like too, like, you already have one, and then she ended up winning anyway.
Yeah. but him, too, with his speech about disability. So basically, Sebastian Stan has been 2024's most courageous actor. You know, he's playing our despot tyrant president. He's playing in A Different Man.
Bravest actor. I mean, all right, Brett, let's be honest. He's in your top three of men you most want to have sex with. So I can't really trust anything you're saying right now.
You bitch. I am not thinking with my dick right now. I think between him doing Trump and A Different Man, it's him. I don't want to see Adrian Brody win for a 3.5 hour movie that I'm
He's
never
the
going
other
to be
one
able to
that
watch.
Could win is Adrian Brody, but I also agree Adrian Brody's also problematic. So how about we just Let's just show him in his Rastafarian wig on SNL where he got banned from SNL. Let's show him physically assaulting Halle Berry, sticking yes. his tongue down her throat when accepting his first Oscar.
Yes.
How about we just not award any of that?
He also has been doing like this long, deep, sincere video about the LA fires. I'm like, oh my God, this is such pandering. To the Academy, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, fighting back tears, talking about LA in this long video. Stop.
Yeah.
So, here are the other things. So, these actresses. We've got a picture of these actresses. Who do we think from this array of actresses? I'm sorry if you can't see these. Who do you think our nominees are for Best Actress?
I do think Angelina Jolie still has that Oscar clout that I think she will get yeah. in. The fact that Nicole Kidman did not get in for Baby Girl, I don't think she might get in. I think Cynthia Erivo's a lock.
You do? I was going to ask, like, what is Wicked's relationship
Here's
to
the
Oscars,
locks.
Do you think?
I think Cynthia Erivo, the Anora girl.
Mikey
I
Madison.
Think Cynthia Erivo, Anora, Demi Moore, and then I think Angelina Jolie and Tilda Swinton. That will be my guess.
What about Carla Sofia Gascon for Amelia
Oh,
Price?
Yeah. No, wait. Her. So yeah. she might knock out. She will knock out either Tilda Swinton or Angelina Jolie. No, I think she's definitely going to get nominated. I don't think she's going to win. I think Zoe Saldana is going to win Best
Well,
supporting
Best Supporting.
Actress. Have you seen
She'll
this
win
movie?
Supporting,
Did
not
we
lead.
Talk about this movie, Amelia Perez?
No, we have not.
Have you seen it?
I'm going to put it this way. I've seen the first hour.
Okay. And then you stopped because you did not like it.
Yeah.
I hated
It's camp.
This movie. it's not camp.
No,
because
no.
camp is still enjoyable to right. watch. I think the lighting.
Yes.
The coloring.
Yes.
The way it's shot. It
just looks fake.
Awful. I feel the mix of music and acting is off and wrong. It
and the point of view
have,
on...
It either needs to have way more musical numbers or no musical numbers. The point of a musical is that when the emotions get so big, you have to start singing. They don't do that.
No.
All of the most dramatic parts are acted, and then they'll sing a song and dance.
Yeah.
Like. It doesn't work.
And
I hate it. I
it's
hate
kind
it.
Of point of view on the trans experience is a little...
It's a little it's like,
there's gender specificity in this movie that doesn't belong in this movie.
It's definitely it's not feeling and here's the thing, it's a French It's cis French people
yeah.
writing and directing and telling the story of a trans person in a
Mexican
Do you
know what this movie
cartel.
Is?
So it's a little like, yeah, it's a little
This is Green Book.
Yeah.
This is Green Book. Yeah. You know what I mean by that?
It's all like good intentions,
You
but
think you're
not...
doing a good, but it's so way off.
Yeah.
Like if you're well,
But it's tricky though because
Trump...
I have my husband and one of my closest friends love it. They think yeah. it's amazing. And that was what I saw it in the theaters with Joe, and he loved it, and I hated it. So it was we were in completely two different spaces. I do not want this movie to win.
No.
But I will say Zoe Saldana is great.
She's pretty great.
She's
yes.
great. In
I think
it, so
she'll
she wins,
win.
I don't care.
She'll win best support. Like, will Zoe Saldana win best supporting actress over Ariana Grande, who I think will be nominated?
Yeah. Now, who I would love to get nominated is Zendaya for Challengers, because I would 100%. Love that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
You know who I want to see get nominated, and she was nominated for a SAG award.
Who?
Pamela Anderson for The Last Showgirl.
Did you watch The Last Showgirl?
No, it's in theaters this weekend, right?
I have been seeing clips of it, and it just feels
Doesn't
really
look that.
Like
yeah.
It just feels like, look how serious it is to be a showgirl. And I'm like, I'd rather see the movie Showgirls. If you're going to do a Showgirls movie, don't make it raw and real. I want camp. I don't want, like, just gritty rawness.
But just the story of Pamela Anderson getting nominated.
That's the other comeback. But that's the thing, is the comeback is not Pamela Anderson. She does have a chance of getting nominated. But I do feel that the Academy is still a little sexist. And yeah. might hold that against her.
Might
but
hold
when
Baywatch
Demi Moore
her.
Said that line about everyone told me I didn't that I was a popcorn actress and I didn't deserve something like this. I was like, that is the story.
That's the story.
That's the story. Because that's the thing is everyone's like, you're not a good actress. What was she known for? She was known for the actress who could cry on cue.
Ghost.
She's a great actress. The fact that
Wasn't
you were like, you're not a
though?
Serious actress, when she literally can cry whenever, she's amazing.
Hasn't she been nominated for G.I. Jane? Was she nominated for that?
No. If she was nominated for anything, it would have been A Few Good Men.
Right. I feel like I've seen her nominated before. So this narrative of like, I've never, girl, you have, right? Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm looking up.
She's looking it up.
I'm looking up. She was nominated for Ghost, for Golden Globe.
Oh, that doesn't count.
No
Oscar?
I'm just looking at... no Oscars.
Oh, okay, yeah. good. Then I... Oh, come on, Demi. And also, can I say something about Demi Moore and how she has been sort of the ambassador between Bruce Willis and the public and how yeah. much empathy she has been delivering his updates to us? It's her. I can't. It's fallen on her.
Yeah, that sounds. I do not want his type of dementia.
No, it sounds
you
awful.
Can't speak.
Yeah,
and
expressive
you don't know
aphasia.
What's going on. That sounds horrifying.
I've been around that, and it's heartbreaking.
Anyway.
So, what's going to win Best Picture? The Brutalist, right?
I feel like The Brutalist just seems made to win.
Yeah.
Joe, I just refuse. It's like 3.5 hours.
It's 3.5 hours.
I can't.
It's a whole day.
I can watch 3.5 hours of Wicked because it's like a musical and there's dancing and singing. 3.5 hours of like, he starts the Holocaust and we go through the years. I'm like, I was like, I do not have time for that. Sorry. Joe saw it. He said it kind of like fizzles out towards the end, but he says it's good. But I have other friends that say it's like beautiful and breathtaking. And I don't know if you know who the guy who did this.
No, who?
Have you watched any? Did you watch the horror movie Funny Games?
Oh,
Naomi Watts.
That guy.
He's one of the killers, not Michael Pitt, but the other one.
Oh. The American Funny Games.
No, not Michael Haneke, not the director of Funny Games.
Okay.
Oh my God. If he did that, I would watch it because he's fucking crazy. What's his name? I need to look up his name.
Oh, while you're looking up, have you seen Night Bitch?
That looks so bad.
I heard it was so bad. People were so excited for the concept.
It looks embarrassingly bad. Am I spelling this wrong? I looked up Brutalist, and it's not showing up anywhere.
I don't know how you spell things.
Brutalist. Here we go. What is his name? Brady Corbett. This is his first movie, I think.
Wow.
Talk about connections. That you're able to do a 3.5-hour huge budget epic drama, and it's the first thing you ever wrote and directed.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy that did his acceptance speech on it, read his acceptance speech on his phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did that bother you?
Yeah, it bothered me.
All right, what else we got going on?
Oh, my God, we have so much going on. I think we watched a bunch of stuff that we want to talk about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What you watching? Is it me naked? No? Fine.
What are we watching
these days? Ooh, so exciting. We have two things that we're going to talk about.
Yes.
And our first one is one close to your heart and mine. RuPaul's Drag Race season 17
has dropped. RuPaul's Drag Race.
So we've got part one and part two of our first episode. And we've got a lot of goals.
Yes.
Who is standing out to you right now?
You have to take more of the lead. I have to be very selective in my words.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I am the editor of Fashion Photo Review, so I am very far ahead on the season. So I need
so
to
you know.
Keep in mind what has not been aired yet.
Okay. So we've had...
But for me, I have, after these two episodes, I have my own person that for me... is my favorite.
Can we count on three
and say
who our favorite is?
Okay.
Okay, I'll do 1, 2, 3, Lexi Love.
Lexi Love. For me, it's just, and this is the thing, for me, I feel there's a really easy thing when it comes to Drag Race. RuPaul set it up from the very beginning. It's cunt. Charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. You have to have all four. And a lot of these queens come in, and some of them are just a little more green, and they haven't gotten all four.
Especially this season. This is
a
young season.
And also, they keep calling her the old one. She's 33 years old.
That's it.
She's the old, ancient one. Why don't I fucking blow my brains out?
Thank you.
She has the charisma, the uniqueness. She's different. She has the nerve because she doesn't give a fuck. And then she's super talented. She has it all.
She has it
Everyone
all.
Else is missing a little bit compared to her for me.
Yeah.
I do love a lot of the other queens. I think for me, Susie Toot, I think is very fun. But the makeup.
She's not pretty. Like, she's just not pretty.
And I'm
she's
telling you right now, it's
nice to
just
look at.
The eyebrows.
Yeah.
If she just did a thicker brow, and I know it's 20s and she's going for a specific look, but it's not pretty to look at. But I think she's super talented. I also think Jewel Sparkles is really funny. She
super
has
talented.
The charisma.
She does.
And she's
she has
really
the talent.
Fun.
And
then
the
someone that I think
sure
looks really fun and has the best name in all creation, Lydia Butthole Collins.
The best. Lydia Butthole. Also, can I say, trait of the season for me.
Really?
Yeah.
She's a little too heroin chic for me.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She's like, very pretty.
Cute. He's very cute.
But as a boy, he's very cute, but it's a little high art. We're in a dark den shooting up heroin.
Yeah, hot. Can we talk about a few, like, girl... Number one, I'm going to start. Joella, she ain't it.
Joella?
She ain't it.
Is kind of amazing because she has the confidence.
She has the confidence, but not.
Of a way more talented queen.
Thank you. That's exactly what I meant.
And like the one where she's going off and telling everybody how bad they did in their talents when she was placed. I think she was probably second from the bottom. I know she doesn't know
C
that
plus.
Yet.
C plus performance.
But she isn't doing that. So but that kind of delusion is yeah. great TV for me, which is also oh, yeah. why another one that I don't think is that good, but I think she's hilarious on TV, is Hormona Lisa. Or Sadness from
yeah, thank you.
Inside Out.
thank you. She is a flop. Like, she truly does not have talent. I can't be meaner right now than I'm being, but it's true.
Yeah, it's just crazy that she chose to do stand-up.
Oh, girl.
And I do stand-up, and I've been to many open mics, and there's just a cadence you do when you do stand-up.
Yes. There's energy involved.
And there's an energy, and...
And there's jokes, there's structure, and she had the... Did not have the cadence, the energy, or the structure.
She did attempt to tell jokes. She was attempting to tell jokes. I've seen people like Jasmine Masters walk out and just tried to tell stories
yeah.
that had no beginning or end. She was trying to tell jokes with punchlines. They just weren't delivered correctly at all. You know, where it's just saying, hey, girls, everyone's coming after the drag community, especially... the other drag queens. Mm-hmm. Like, she's leading you so hard to a punchline that isn't that great.
Right.
It's 80% delivery. And so it's just, yeah. I'm like, whoever told her that she should do stand-up, because she was like... Cause
wants to see her
thing.
Fail.
If you can't... She had said the first week, she's like, oh, I'm just going to do animal sounds. She should have done that. I think that could have been really hilarious.
RuPaul would have loved that.
Yeah, if she just came out and just did a bunch of animal sounds with then some costume reveal, they would have eaten that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's my other issue.
Yeah.
My other issue is Corey King's wig.
Oof.
Two. It's a two finger.
Yeah.
You need four. Okay, I want you to look in this picture. Look at RuPaul's hairline.
Yes.
Look at Corey King's hairline.
Yes.
RuPaul's a little too much. But if you're going to have big hair, you need to have a big forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is also bothering me. Also, I think Acacia Forgot wasn't that bad.
She wasn't that bad, but she did do something that I think is a Drag Race sin, a venial sin.
What?
When she spun around for the ass reveal and just covered in hair. Girl, you can't give us man ass like that.
Why? No, people love that. I thought that was funny because it was the opposite. Because it was like hot, hairy daddy.
Oh.
And then lady from the front.
Mm-mm.
Wait, do you not like a hairy ass?
No.
Wow. I know people where that's a deal breaker.
If it's hairy?
If it's not hairy.
Oh, God.
If it's not hairy, they don't want it. I told a few of my friends, because I wax my butthole,
mm-hmm.
I get it waxed because it makes number twos a dream. Mm. It makes everything just wonderful. I love it.
I just take psyllium husk.
I do that too, girl. I'm doing it all.
Do you get air when you poop?
What?
Do you like bounce up in the sky when you poop from all the propulsion?
But people are like, what are you doing? How could you take away your beautiful hair? And I'm like, I don't mind a bit of hair. Here's my rule. If you could take a rubber band and make pigtails, you have too much butt hair.
Girl. Not pigtails on the butt.
Yeah.
Come on.
Anyway, I think it's a fun start. Who's going to win?
I can't ask you who's going to win. Oh, you have to ask me.
I can't give that. But I will say my favorite is Lexi Love. She's my favorite. Win. So she's the person that I am, like, rooting for. And I think after this last episode, I think I'm not alone.
I thought Susie Toot.
She's great.
Susie Toot was kind of, like, at the top of the mountain for me. But then she did the donkey leg reveal. And I was like, oh, she makes
right
bad
now,
choices.
Her looks are a little costumey. A little more Halloween Party City.
Yeah.
Than high-end.
French maid costume.
Because, her one where she turned into the donkey, I think it's such a smart idea. but it just looked like she bought that out of a Halloween shop.
100%. Like if it had.
And then the ears coming out were just drooping. Like she should have made it where then they like stuck out.
Yeah,
like
they were
everything
cartoony.
Needed to have. She needed volume.
Yes. Fit. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, very exciting. We're very glad it's back. And then what did you think of the Hormona Lisa being saved by the Las Vegas lever, badunkadunk thing? Was that rigged?
I think supposedly, I think it's illegal. It's not legal for them to
rig it.
Rig those things, which is I also think that they, I don't think that they would have saved Hormona, which is why I don't think it's rigged.
What was the context of RuPaul publicly selecting her for Drag Race? Like, do you know more detail around that?
She was touring for her book, I believe. And so she was doing RuPaul. All these events and doing book signings, RuPaul.
Yeah.
And Hormona Lisa came to one of her events and like came up and was like being all sassy and talking to her and being like, I brought my zip drive. I've been applying every year, blah, 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 blah. And then RuPaul was like, girl, you can give me that zip drive, but I'm giving it to you right now. I'm giving it to you. You have a spot on the next season.
Okay. Weird, right?
All right, what else we watch?
Well, let's talk about another bunch of monsters. Creature Commando. So James Gunn, his first project for DC Studios as their showrunner, Kevin Feige, is complete.
Is this renewed for another season, or is this just like a one-off?
I don't know if it was ever... Oh, well, they allude to it at the end. So I would imagine, yes. I'm not sure if it's renewed. I'm not sure if it's planned. But they did give us a setup to season two at the end of this season.
Yeah. I will say it was enjoyable, but also nothing mind-blowing for me.
It was very standard James Gunn team dynamic.
I feel
vulgar humor, gross humor.
There's a big picture stakes thing that I'm missing with this.
Yeah.
I think...
Unless we don't...
Are we going to give spoilers away on this?
Yes, because we've seen the entire first season, right? So yeah, let's spoil the fuck out of it.
It just felt that the whole show was about introducing each character, and then it ended. And... It seemed that two of the characters are dead. I don't know. Was Frankenstein killed?
No, because Frankenstein shows up again at the end.
Oh, was that? Oh, he just went to a different old lady? I thought that was a flashback.
I think he went to a different old lady.
But I felt like, I also thought it was weird that they killed like the heart of the team.
Very strange and like have no intention of, and then when the replacement character showed up at the end, there's no... Like, King Shark isn't going to fill in the Nina Mazursky
slot. And that person with wings that she beat up in the beginning. Right. I felt that the post-credit scene should have been... what is that character's name again?
Nina Mazursky.
Is that the fish girl?
Yeah.
Nina... That should have been the reveal that she was back. That she wasn't really dead.
Or like something happened.
Because here's the thing. I would love it if she was brought back and then being like... Fuck all of you.
Yeah.
And now I'm the villain.
It was
like,
such
that would be more interesting.
Such a build up character. They built up that character so much and then to just pull the rug out. Didn't feel great.
And I think it's the same thing where they kind of built up a really fun thing with the princess. Was a very interesting character because it was like, oh, she's obviously the bad guy. And then it was like, oh, she's going to be.
No,
but
lying.
Then they revealed she is a bad guy. Then it was like, here's the twist. She's not the bad guy. Double twist. She is the bad guy. And I think that's fun.
It was fun.
Then she just killed. Then they killed her.
Yeah.
And so that also just ended very like, oh, I feel like the last episode was like three episode worth of things that happened.
Yeah, a lot of things.
It was a little too much for me, and so I felt like there's something missing, but it's good. It's good, but it's not... There's a spark missing.
There's a little bit of a so what happening, and it's like, it's not good or different enough for it to, like, for the so what to be, no, this is just a good story. Like, it was
And you know what it is? It's okay. Like, I felt the same way with Penguin, the first episode of Penguin. And like, then the Christine Milioti of it showed up. And then I was like, here's the je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
This is what it's about. And now I'm invested. Yeah.
And I think, what was this about? Like, this was basically just Suicide Squad with monsters.
Yeah.
But here's what James Gunn is very good at. Making us care about each one of the characters on the team. You know, he did that with Guardians. He does it here. A lot of time spent. And that was kind of another thing. Like, so much time was spent on the backstory of each of these characters, and then some of them were taken away from us. And it's like, well, then what did I watch?
That was my thing, but what did I watch? It was very weird. Where it was like each character had their own backstory, and then the show ended.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you do that with the show like Lost. Each episode went into a character's backstory. But then there was like 12 more episodes of the actual story going on.
Right.
Yeah, it was a little weird to me. But it's still good. I'd be interested to see where he goes from here.
A few other issues. Like, James Gunn is great. I love James Gunn. Like, there's a corner of his humor that I just don't connect to. I had a big problem with the Frankenstein character in this show. Like, I did not like this character. I did not connect. Like, he annoyed me. And David Harbour's line reads were annoying. Like, it really kind of disgusted me a little bit.
I do feel his random killing of undeserving people.
Yeah. Because that's a Frankenstein thing, kind of.
But Frankenstein would accidentally kill people. He's like, here, I'm with this old lady, and now before I leave, I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
It just made him just so unlikable.
Yeah.
That I don't know. It's either like if he was like written as like a horrible villain, I wouldn't mind, but he's written like a jokey good guy.
Yeah.
And he's not. Like, the bride, I'm like, yeah, fucking kill him. Good. I mean, the bride is the success of the show.
Yeah.
And she is the best thing. The bride, and I also love the Nazi robot. What's the robot's
name? G.I. Robot, yeah.
G.I. Robot, when he was taken in, and that whole arc of him finding this newfound family, and then he's like, come with me to this group, and it's a neo-Nazi party, and he just murders everybody.
Yeah.
That was fucking hilarious.
That was hilarious. If this show was called The Bride, I would have a different opinion.
Yeah, I think. But still, it's a good show. It's a good show. It's not perfect, though.
Not perfect. But better than some of the stuff that Marvel has done. Oh, we're already starting to compare.
Uh-oh. Are we ready to talk about Marvel?
All right. I think we're about to embark on an X-Men segment. You want to begrudgingly hit the music?
It's mutants with powers, Omega, for hours. Bitch, let's read some X-Men.
I am this close to changing the music to just like...
Good.
Just me like sighing like, guess we have to talk about X-Men. Girl, this is bad. Like, what is going on? There's only two good books, basically, for me.
This past two weeks, we lost a book. There was a book that was doing all right, and then this issue came out, and I was like, this is garbage.
Are you talking about Uncanny?
I'm talking about NYX.
Even Uncanny, though, I feel is starting to lose the plot a tiny bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I think that's because they were on that crossover event.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, X-Force.
X-Force number 7.
Here's the takeaway, everybody. This is a horrible book. It's bad. But it has Betsy.
Villain no one cares
about.
It has Rachel.
But here's the... And then the new big bad in this is... La Diabla, which is also, unless there's a reveal that you're somebody famous, I don't care. She seems a little way too overpowered for me. It seems like she can show up in computer programs and in Betsy's psionic rapports, and like I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't. I didn't get it.
But there's one thing. One thing that was brought up in here that I think is of interest is that the last time we saw Rachel before this is Xavier murdered her. And I was like, I thought there wasn't any resurrection. It turns out that she was resurrected by the White Hot Room with Phoenix stuff, it seems mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. And so she is connect. She is has a permanent connection to the Phoenix, mm-hmm. making her somewhat immortal.
A little bit.
Which does explain that she's Ascani thousands of years later.
That's a great point.
So for me, I liked that thing yeah. was addressed. And I also liked how it was all about their kind of relationship. And so that was nice, but it's inside a book that I don't give two shits about at all.
I was so mad that the end page setting up the next issue featured Colossus barging in. And what's up with Colossus? He's being mind controlled. Has that ever happened before?
Yeah, it's like, if it's not, I could accept it if it turns out it's still the same mind control, but if it's a different person mind controlling him, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. I will What's say next? The interesting thing I did like was when Rachel, when they were in that rapport trying to like get everything, trying to like, what were they trying to do? I can't even remember. When she brought in all the different Rachels.
Yeah.
Were they trying to fix? They were trying to like fix something in Rachel, but I like that they brought all the different levels of Rachel in. So from all different timelines. So there's Ascani. There's the one from before.
Dinosaur.
There's a dinosaur Rachel. There's what is it? Tempest. What was it when she was in Wolverine and the X-Men? What was her name then?
Prestige. Oof.
They brought all those different ones, and so yeah. apparently, because they're reestablishing her having time-based powers, which is what she started yes. out with, and so that I am like, I like that. I wouldn't mind those two branching off and giving it to maybe, wait, who wrote, was it Teenie Howard? Who wrote Excalibur?
Yeah, Teenie Howard.
Let's have Teenie Howard come back and let's get Rachel and them again. I know she already wrote it before and people were all mad at her, but give them back to her and let them go on an adventure. Because I think all of this setup is interesting, but in the big context of Forge and Sage and Juggernaut, Tank, like, I don't care. And Mr. Yeah. and Mrs. Diabla, I don't give a shit.
I don't care, Mrs. Diabla. All right. We talked about that more than I thought, and thank you, Rachel. So next we have X Factor number 6, which is just a book about characters not acting like themselves.
I don't understand any of it. None of it. No one's doing anything that makes any sense. The plot is not doing anything that makes any sense, especially to the whole outward rest of what's happening with the rest of the X world. None of it makes any sense to me. And then Polaris somehow had this higher ground of like, fuck you, Havoc. And I was like, I don't know. I don't.
And then the reveal of like this character who we're supposed to care about, who's been on t-shirts and appeared in a flashback once, is actually alive. He's the motivator for Polaris's mutant underground. And he's a traitor, so the underground is going to be questioning their beliefs none of us care about.
Which character was this again?
Jovius. See, it's right there. Which character was this again?
But that's
and
the
that's X Factor.
So he was the one, and it was just, but that's the thing, it was just established that he was in the Krakoan, like, he was just there to protect. What was he protecting?
I forget. But he sacrificed himself. And it
but
was
then
that
it turns out he actually didn't. He was actually on the side of Orcus.
I don't know. Or Orcus is
But also, was this character ever there before?
No, made up.
So who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck? This would have been way more interesting if you had, when Polaris was on X Factor, have one of the members of X Factor have it be one of them, the X Factor on Krakoa. You know what I mean? Like,
may I remind you that
I'm just throwing it out here. Have it be fucking Aurora, one of her multiple personalities. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many other things that would be way more interesting. I hate it. All right, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Do you have anything else to say?
Nope. Just that Sentinels number 4 came out.
Okay, so what's next?
Okay.
Is there anything to say about this either?
No.
No, not really. I don't think
Is it just that the girl who was being haunted by the Onslaught hallucinations?
The Onslaught was Xavier fucking with her.
Which, what? What a dick move.
Yeah.
What do we do? What?
But it looks like it turns out the graphing isn't real and you don't
die. Or like it
die.
Doesn't kill you. You achieve like a higher.
Yeah, you don't die. And so that they're existence. So now they're rebelling, but then the one main guy gets some super suit and he's going to come after them.
What?
Who cares?
NYX number 7.
This is where it goes.
Burn this.
This is where it goes.
Kill it with fire.
I thought it was like Sync's going to join the team. And then they have like a battle to the death for no reason.
For no reason.
If he was like, I'm going to call you to a battle to the death. If I was Prodigy, I would have been like, no. Yeah. We're not in Krakoa.
And he even cites like Arako. He's like, I challenge you to the Circle Perilous. I was like, that's not the rules here.
Yeah, so I'd be like, girl, you just came into my house.
Right.
But also,
there was no resolution.
Sync? Is Sync the character that we need to add right now?
No. I like that Sync is back because I did enjoy that he factored so heavily into the Krakoan era. But for me, the issue was that there was no resolution to their argument. Like,
the argument made no sense.
No sense.
He was just like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to be another Xavier. And it was like,
no, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Oh, I guess you're not. I mean, I guess you are.
He literally has a sanctuary for mutants that are being treated badly.
Right. What's the problem?
Why are you mad? I think he's like, you're putting a target on them. This should be secret. This should be a secret and you shouldn't be open. But if it's a secret, then no one's going to know where to go.
I saw the argument fine, but I mean,
is that an argument?
People...
It's a thing where you're like, hey, let me talk to you. I don't know if this is the right way to go. Not,
right.
We have to have a battle to the death.
But then there was no tilt at the end. Like, Prodigy did nothing to change Sync's mind. Sync just changed his mind. It was terrible.
And Kamala... sees her cousin.
Oh my god, her cousin's a supervillain now?
And then her cousin's a supervillain.
What?
And he still doesn't recognize her.
Even he's scanning her with multiple devices, which I guess he invented. I don't know.
And nothing ever. And here's the other thing is like.
What the hell?
I'm sick of this. That's the one thing I hated about DC was the Clark Kent conundrum.
The mask.
We don't have that. We don't have that. Because here's the thing. The people with secret identities, Daredevil, Spider-Man, the mask is covering everything. Kamala does not have enough covering. You can fucking tell who it is.
Multiple devices scanning her to ascertain her identity, and it comes up inconclusive.
I thought that was happening, and then he was going to realize it was his cousin, and then have a moment of like, oh no, what do I do? What do I choose? Do I still choose this side? No.
How do you not know that's your cousin? Your cousin. I hate it.
Stupid. All right, let's move on.
Magic.
Pointless.
Magic number 1.
There's no reason. We already have Laura. We already have Wolverine. We already have Psylocke. We already have Storm. We already have
There's enough room for them all. My issue is that they're all reading as like these characters are reading as way too close together. to
they're
one
all
another.
Doing the same thing. Oh, I need a mission. We're just gonna be on like a save people mission. I don't know. It's just
like, I didn't hate this book. Like, I like weird magic stuff. But yeah, you know, you're reading it kind of like,
I also
why?
Just thought it was awful where it was like, this poor girl gets her face melted off.
I know.
And she didn't save her.
I know.
I didn't like that either. That made me feel like really sour to the whole thing.
And also, like, we've evolved this character of Ileana Rasputin so that she's no longer the ruler of Limbo. Like, she's left all of that Limbo struggle behind. Yet here's a book that falls into the same old conflict with this character, which is the Dark Child's in me. Can we leave that behind with Limbo also?
Yeah, I don't care.
There's been so much Dark Child shit.
Yeah.
With her. Give her a new thing to do.
All right. So, fuck you, Magic.
I'll keep reading it, but not
impressed. I'll read it, okay. Yeah.
Uncanny X-Men, the road to Gray Malkin is over. Was it even a crossover? Was it?
It was, because it had the two different
teams. It was a crossover, but didn't feel like an event.
No. Which I actually like. I'm sick of these huge events that are like 5 million books.
Yeah,
and then
it's
the
not
world
an event.
Is
it's
like
a story.
The world is about to blow up.
Yeah. Didn't you think that was fucking sinister on the cover?
Yeah.
It's not.
Is Who that is it? Just is that is just it scurvy?
I guess.
So let's
okay.
talk about.
Here's the
okay,
thing you
so
hate.
Here's
the thing we hate. The
there
avians.
There is now
the avians.
Is the avians.
What the fuck is
this? Which is avian, that's bird. So what does it have to do with birds?
So basically Scurvy tells Xavier, Xavier's like, there's no way you're as powerful as I am. And he's like, no, but I am, because you are one of five avians. I'm one of them. Also, and so was Harvey X, the boy who died from a brain tumor in issue one.
So, but that does, and no one's referencing, they're like, who are the other avians? Doesn't Cassandra Nova have to be an avian then? Or is it because she's a Mumdry? That's the thing, is like, well, you're not an avian, you're also a Mumdry. I'm like, this is getting too complicated. This is too complicated. And the other thing is where it's like, the thing that makes you an avian is you're bald and have a brain tumor and have psychic powers. So this means Xavier has a brain tumor?
How has he had a fucking brain tumor this whole time and nobody caught that?
And also, he's died and been resurrected and he's been in the healing gardens and no one ever found the brain tumor or thought to address it?
At two, Uncanny X-Men?
So we have, they said there's five avians. Do we know, we only know who three of them are?
And the fourth
is the one
is
behind
Inmate X.
Is Inmate X.
So does that mean, like, I don't
is
give
Cassandra
a shit who
Nova
that is?
Is Cassandra Nova the other one?
Well, Cassandra Nova's out there, maybe. But she's a Mumdry. I could see them saying, no, it's not her. She's a cheap copy of an avian.
I don't know.
So does this mean Inmate X is going to be a new character? Or are we going to establish that some other psychic is one of the avians? Is it going to be Xandra?
Or Legion?
Or Legion?
I don't know. And I'm just kind of...
Is it Vanisher?
I'm going to give it up. It's where it's like, I'll see where this goes. But I feel like you're adding a new...
Lore. That's like...
Lore.
It's like the
like
externals.
Adding,
like, are we, oh.
Also... If they're all avians, their powers are very different from each other. I know they're psychics, but Harvey, he died very early, and he was able to not only... He was not only able to, like, tell the future and be a... But he was also able to, like, come back from the... Like, come through the dead and
like
give
keep
Rogue,
a piece of him inside Rogue, yeah.
Yeah, and keep a piece of his powers inside Rogue to give her access to all this stuff. And then Scurvy, him using his powers makes him old, which is already a thing
with
Sync. So I don't know. And we see that the head of the Grey Malkin mansion, what's this bitch's name again?
Karina Ellis.
That she used to be like kind of like a Joe Rogan podcaster.
Yeah.
And then that's how she came to this. I do like that. I think that tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I'm like, I need to know more about these avians because right now I hate the name. And until I find out who the other two avians are, I don't know if I like this.
What sucks is we want to know more about them, not because we're interested, but because we want to know
whether
like,
we hate
what our judgment, like what the fuck is this?
Yes.
Which sucks.
Yeah. So you're on notice, Uncanny and X-Men.
I'm so sorry to our listeners. Like, just like listen to us bitch and complain. Like, you know, negativity
also,
is
I'll
no
tell you
fun,
this. If you like it, write to us and tell us why we're wrong. Tell us if you're like, no, I'm enjoying this. You're an idiot. Tell us that we're wrong. I need to catch up on like some Homo Superior and stuff. I haven't listened to them in a bit. I'm curious of what they're.
Oh, I just hung out with them. I was with them last weekend in D.C. Yeah.
I introduced my friend who used to, Paul, who used to edit on with me. He just moved to D.C. And so my other friend, Dan, who did improv with them, he introduced them all. So like,
oh, no way.
He now has met all of them and hung out with them, too.
Oh, nice. Yay. Nice. We actually.
But I want to know what they think of this.
Yeah.
Is everyone else hating this or are we just like too old?
No, they are. Yeah, they're hating it. Yeah. We talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Gail Simone, I'm really loving, and I'm really loving Exceptional and Uncanny, but this new twist, it's just too much complication. Don't add a complication. Sometimes people are like, oh, it'd be really cool if it turns out Xavier's this different. It's like, that might be cool for just like a quick reveal, but in the grand scheme of things, you're just overcomplicating it and making it annoying.
And also, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't exactly hate the reason for the rift between Rogue and Cyclops, which is, do we leave Xavier to rot in prison, Cyclops, or do we take him back home because he's family, Rogue?
Sadly, I'm on Cyclops' side.
But I can see where the two of them are coming from. Like, Rogue is right now playing the Xavier's dream purist. Rogue is still representing the original dream of integration.
Yeah, but I think the real problem, and there's the real problem, is then she was like, you can take your people and then you have to go. And everyone was okay with leaving all of the other mutants there.
I know.
That was the thing where it's like, well, we need this for the plot, but it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to be like, well, we're not friends with those other mutants, so fuck you.
Well, it's not like they had a choice. She said, I'll blow up Merle and Louisiana.
Yes, that's true. But I don't want it to go back where, when we see the next issues, it needs to be like, we need to save all of those mutants.
Yeah, 100%.
Not like, anyway, now onto this other thing, and we're just going to let Grey Malkin be there.
The other thing that's weird, and this shows up in the Magic book, is these moments where Magneto and Beast and Cyclops and Quentin and Edie are acting like, we're just a quirky family. Yay, your birthday. And it's like, that's not the vibe with this team in this like cold metal factory of these like mean characters. And then all of a sudden they're like, let's go outside and play softball. It's like, you're not that X-Men. You're shoehorning the feeling of like the classic mansion family X-Men, but it's just not connecting.
It would be more interesting if they were like trying to do that, and then Cyclops is like, "No, I can't. No, we need to practice. This might be happening. We might be."
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like we need to see that. And the other thing is, if she threatened saying, "I have satellites that can blow up where you live at any moment," and they're just going to go back to those places, like if I were her, I'd be like, "Are they back? Okay, blow them up." I don't know. There's just some plot holes here that aren't.
Or like. You have satellites up there? Okay, Magneto?
He doesn't have powers.
Magneto, Rogue? Anyway.
Also, can Rogue use Magneto's powers if he doesn't have them?
Yeah.
Could she absorb the powers that he used to have?
I'm sure.
Anyway.
Throw a card up there.
That's the one thing that I hate is, if you overpower a bunch of people and then people are able to, and then you have to take them away, or you ignore it so that they can be easily defeated.
That's what's going to happen with Diabla. Like all of a sudden they're just going to defeat Diabla easily and be like, well, okay. In X-Force. Can we get into something? Are we Avengers fans moving forward? I'm loving what's happening in Avengers. Did you read that book?
I did read Avengers.
We don't have a thing up here, but that was fun. Storm and Scarlet Witch getting in their fake fight.
Yes.
That was super fun.
Hey, Pretender. I love how they're building. They show them getting into the fight, and then it cuts back to them planning.
And Storm is like, you should call me Pretender. That'd be hilarious.
No, wait. Or Scarlet Witch said that. Yeah. Yeah, that's fun.
That was fun.
Although I don't like that Black Panther is still separated. I want Storm and Black Panther to have awkward interactions.
Ooh, they're building to it.
Yes.
And then I read The New Champions. Remember, that was one of the, when we looked at the future of the Marvel.
I saw the cover of it. Is there anybody, who do we know that's in The New Champions?
So those are all characters that I know. Remember, I was like, oh, you should read Avengers Academy on Infinity. Some
is
of these characters
most of the
are from
Avengers
that.
Academy people? But so like, is it all a bunch of faggots and lesbians?
Not really, actually. Now that I'm looking at it, they're like adjacent, but they're not the actual characters. So I don't know. I actually, this was too juvenile. This was too for babies for me. I wound up just flipping through it. But there's other books out there. We should think about abandoning the X-Men.
Yeah, we need to find some other books to read.
Just kidding. But we do. We should.
I need to catch up on Saga. You haven't even read any of it.
Fuck Saga.
And what's the Tinian's? What's the Wind?
Don't we need to reread that? We have to catch up on that new one that came out.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we need to watch. We need to read something that's like will make us feel good.
Yeah.
Because Agatha All Along is over.
So we're gonna have Captain America: Brave New World in a month. That's gonna be awful. You can just feel it in the air how bad that's gonna be.
Because I think, aren't they already going back and doing re-edits because the screenings were really bad? Mm. The screening audiences hated it.
Thunderbolts looks good.
Thunderbolts looks fun. Oh, and then you know what else was terrible? She already talked about is then What If was terrible.
The Gambit Galactus thing?
No, the show.
We talked all about it.
No, I know we did. I'm just bringing up things that haven't been good.
That have been bad, yeah.
Like, I need something. I need a win. Especially, like, I need a win. Girl, my house might burn down.
Seriously.
And Trump is becoming president. Can I at least have a good comic to read, please? I
guess not. Truly dark times. But we'll be here.
Or will we? Or until Trump makes it illegal to be gay. Can you imagine if we start out and we're like, we're comic book straights?
Can you imagine if we become like the voice of the rebellion? We become like Christian Slater and Pump
They're
Up
just
the
like, the only podcast left because no one listens to it, so they didn't try to take it down. It was Comic Book Queers leading the rebellion. We'd give all of our like actions in like X-Men code.
Yeah. So we're just going to Banshee on Thursday at the Harry's Hideaway.
And if things go wrong, do a Kitty Pride through the crowd. All right. Well, I think
okay.
We did.
Lovely.
Sorry, everybody.
Thank you.
This was a
Sorry.
Little depressing.
This was a dark one, but buckle up.
Yeah. We'll try to put on. Hi. I'm gonna go get. We're gonna go get facelifts.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Okay. All right, everybody. Actually, my face is feeling very youthful and taut because I've been getting a lot of facials lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many people have come on it?
A lot, and it's because I'm so queer, and you know how I got that way?
How?
From reading comic books, because if you read comics, well, then that makes you queer. Okay, it'll get better.
Bye.